TED Audio Collective.
Welcome to Fixable. I'm Anne Morris. I'm a company builder and leadership coach.
And I'm Frances Fry. I'm a professor at the Harvard Business School, and I'm your wife.
We believe that meaningful change happens fast. Anything is fixable, and solutions are often just one brave conversation away.
Who do we have today, Anne?
Frances, today we have a caller named Ren, and as usual, we're going to use a pseudonym to protect her anonymity. Ren has a really interesting problem for us, and I'm going to let her tell it in her own words.
Hi, I'm Ren, and I work as a finance director at a fintech company. When being pregnant with my second son, I was promoted to a finance director position, a position that I've been wanting all my life. And after doing the job for just 3 months, I then went on long-term maternity leave, longer than I anticipated because my son was very sick. It is now 4 months off until I'm due to go back. The team I'm going back to are not recognizable in the slightest. I've missed so much with the business and kind of what they've been doing. And I would just like to get some help and guidance on how I can get my head back into everything and do the best job possible.
Frances, what's your reaction?
This sounds like the perfect storm. I'm sure there are better ways of saying it, but what a collision of externalities.
It's a steep mountain to climb. So, Frances, I've been thinking about my parental leave as we shepherded our firstborn into the world, which was a very exciting moment in our family's life. And I was also thinking about how he had some health complications that threw us for a loop. And it took me a good 12 to 18 months, maybe even more, to get my own footing under me and to be ready to go back out in the world in any way at all. So I'm quite impressed that our caller is ready to go. And I was remembering that I couldn't even figure out how to interview for a job at that point.
I remember that so well.
I had a lot of clarity that I needed to go back to work, that it was psychically important to me to go back to work. And I also had a lot of clarity that just from an executive function standpoint, getting from A to B to C to re-enter a workplace was beyond me.
I feel like I had the best seat on what maternity, like what it does, because I got to watch what it did to you, and it didn't scramble me like it scrambled you, but I got to see it. And even me going back to class, not having been scrambled inside, it was hard for me by simply the distraction of it all and the emotional roller coaster. But I mostly just was so focused on you and didn't want to go back because I didn't want to leave you alone.
And I want to push on the word scramble because I want to, in solidarity with my fellow pregnant people of the world.
Yeah, no, scrambled's not right. Boiled? No. Fried.
Poached?
Poached.
It was particularly intense for us. We were transitioning into being parents.
Oh, gosh.
But also being parents of a sick kiddo who needed extra attention and medical care. And that, it took a while to get our sea legs under us, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I measure that in years.
By the way, I also want to state for the record that he is doing amazing.
Oh my gosh.
He is thriving, and we got very lucky in many ways that he gets to grow out of the impact of this condition. But the early years are tricky.
Yeah.
And that's when we were negotiating all of these issues, including what do our public lives look like when our private lives have some unexpected complexity.
Yeah.
And so I'm really looking forward to having this conversation with our caller and seeing if any of that learning and insight is going to be useful to her.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. all you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey everybody, it's Neil. I've got some huge news. Decoder is moving to Mondays and Thursdays. We're adding a second episode of the show. On Mondays, we'll have our classic interviews with CEOs and other troublemakers.
I think we're going to have to start having conversations about how do we pay those jobs that can't be done by AI.
And on Thursdays, we'll be explaining big topics in the news with Verge reporters, experts, and other friends of the show.
There's a new generation of people on the internet. Google search has always sucked for them. So, you know, there's no reason for them to be loyal. They can just go to TikTok.
This is going to be really fun. I'm very excited about all this. So go subscribe wherever you get your podcasts now.
Oh, this is so exciting.
I know. This is very exciting. Ren, yeah. Welcome to Fixable.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's our privilege. So let's just start with, tell us about the work you do.
So where do I start? I wear lots of different hats. So first and foremost, I'm a mum to two children. One is 7 and the other one is 15 months. And as a day job, as in my career, I'm finance director for a major corporation in the fintech industry. So very high technological, male-dominated kind of environment. So I got promoted there to FD while I was pregnant with my second child, actually, which is pretty amazing.
Big job.
Yeah, it's a great job. But the challenge is, like, motherhood has been quite difficult over the last 18 months because my son, who I had in January 2022, he has a life-threatening condition, which we are constantly battling every day. I mean, we almost lost him twice in one night at the age of 5 weeks, one in the hospital, once in the ambulance. So life has been a massive whirlwind. And I was supposed to go back to work at 9 months, but because of the situation, I've had extended leave. So I'm due to go back a couple of months from now. It's like a new challenge. It's not how I thought it would be, but we are where we are. So that's kind of what I'm doing.
Well, first of all, I'm so sorry you've been on this ride with your child's health. We have a little bit of experience with that. I used to describe it as falling through the looking glass into
exactly
this
whole
other universe. What are you most excited about returning to in the workplace?
The biggest thing that I'm looking forward to and excited about the most is having some kind of escape from four walls and just kind of going out into the office, having adult conversation, having a coffee without having to be worrying about lockdown or worrying about, you know, being at home and doing dinner and lunch for kids or whatever it is. It's just that kind of normality, because that's the kind of environment that I thrive in the most. So I'm very much about kind of, you know, going from meeting to meeting and kind of bash, you know, like rush, like corporate environment excites me.
And it sounds like using parts of yourself that you haven't used for the last 3 years.
Yeah, precisely.
So tell us about the problem we can help you fix today.
So when it comes to going back to work, I mean, I've got a 7-year-old, so I have experienced having a baby and then going back to work after 9 months, and it's worked and it's been great. Going back to work after 18 months with a child who I don't know what his future holds, and going back into a job that is so much more senior than what I was doing at the time of my first child, and going back after 18 months. So it's like being hit across the head 3 times. I kind of don't know what to expect. And my confident, powerful self is saying, don't worry, you've got this. But I want to go back with a bang and make sure that I'm, you know, everyone's like, yes, Ren's back. This is good.
Yeah. I'm gonna deliberately hit on a couple of notes here, because we're talking to you, but we're also going to be talking to your subconscious here. What could go really right in this scenario? What's the best case scenario?
The best case scenario is we just have another appointment at the hospital and my son's fine. then I can be like, yes.
A miracle cure.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, and then I'll be able to be the happiest person on earth. And then I could just go back to living a normal life and thriving in at work.
What's the best case scenario at work? Because the miracle cure, which, trust us, we know what that feels like to pray for it, is fundamentally out of your control.
So
the challenge is going to be integrating and accepting reality as it is.
Mm-hmm.
And believe me, we will be praying for a miracle cure for your child as well. But if we hold that, if we hold his health constant, and you go back to work, tell us about what you want to feel like when you get there.
I want to feel confident. I think that's the first thing. Sometimes some of the projects that we work on at work can be pretty mind-boggling. It takes a while to like read through the contracts and really get your head round what's going on here and what are we dealing with, and when you're making decisions, what are the pros, what are the cons, and are the costs, and you know, whatever the big guys want to see in their analysis or whatever they've asked for, there's a lot to consider. Yeah, I just want to feel empowered and feel like I can do this. Like, I can do this. I did this before. Yes, life was different then. But it's the same job. It's the same company. It's the same sort of stuff. It's just trying to get back into that mode of understanding things and not being too hard on myself if maybe perhaps I'm not understanding it, especially at the beginning because I've only just come back.
I love it. That makes me think of the great C words of leadership: compassion, confidence, capacity. Francis, summarize where we are.
So
let's get you in here.
Before I can really give it a summary, what are the added responsibilities that come with the promotion?
Yeah, sure. So yes, there is managing more people. It's not a huge, huge team. It's, I would say, probably about 5 people in total. So it's a nice number. It's manageable. It's not like 10s, 20s or anything like that. The reporting line is different. So there is a reporting line to the CFO. And a CFO doesn't want to see detail. It wants to just say, right, okay, what are we dealing with? And what's the decision? What do you think? Okay. And why? And that's it. So things need to be quick. The turnaround needs to be quick.
Okay. And before the promotion, were you one of the 5 people and now you're overseeing the 5 people? Is that how it is?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I think that a very meaningful part of what's different is that it's now no longer just you. And I actually think things are going to be quite different when you go back. Even if we take away the other aspects, because you're going from an individual contributor to the manager of this team and the leader.
Yeah, I mean, the first place in hearing your story, Ren, even before having the pleasure of talking to you about it, the first place my head went was, the framing on this is not that you're returning to work. The framing on this is that you're starting a new job.
Yeah.
And so when we try on that new frame, what do we know about how to start a new job well? I mean, there's a book I love to recommend to people by Michael Watkins called The First 90 Days. And it has kind of a male lens to it. But I find that it's very useful. So it's a place to start in how can I be most effective in getting where I want to go in 90 days. And I love that time period.
Yeah.
But giving yourself a reasonable, you're not going to feel those magical feelings of confidence and capacity in the first 7 days back, you know, or even the first 30, you know, but 90 days,
90
is a reasonable expectation to feel like you have your sea legs in this role.
Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think one of the things that's interesting that you've touched on is actually, it's about expectation, isn't it? Having realistic expectations of yourself. So to your point about, you know, you're not going to feel all these things in the first 7 days, absolutely correct. And that's something I need to keep reminding myself of, because I do put a lot of pressure on myself. I go full throttle. Like if I've got a goal, that's it. That's my goal. Like I am so dead focused on achieving something and running for it. And sometimes I need to remind myself to slow down and not burn myself out.
Yeah. There's another expectation I want to blow up, because the challenge of living a life with a child with a chronic disease is that there is a relentless level of pressure and anxiety that just doesn't go away. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really what surprised us, is we approached it as a sprint, as a problem to be solved, which is how we had approached previous challenges. And in fact, it was this entirely different entity, which I think does relate to the other assumption I want to blow up, which is that this is somehow about returning to Ren circa 2021. You are a new person.
Yes.
And this whole new person is starting this whole new job. And it's going to be this challenging, but also exciting and interesting and exhilarating, potentially, process of discovering that combination. These are two very new variables that you have never taken for a test drive in the workplace before.
No.
And
no, that's true.
I suspect that it's part of this chapter is going to be figuring out what that means about your new relationship with work.
Mm.
To Frances's point, the exciting part of this new relationship is that
it's super exciting.
You're not the only one doing the work in this new job. You have all these other people, which is what makes management really fun and interesting, is that it's just not, it's no longer about how hard Ren is willing to work to get the job done. It's also about how to unleash these other extraordinary humans to get the work done. Mm.
Yeah, delegating and things like that effectively. Yeah.
The beautiful thing about leading a team is that to bring out the best in them also gives you flexibility, because the more they can do on their own, the more you can respond to the variability of your children's needs. So when your team is cooking, it won't matter that you have to go and take 2 days, go spend time in the hospital, be texting in the middle of the night. If you were an individual contributor, it would definitely matter. So you're going to benefit from the flexibility about having a high-performing team. And the high-performing team is going to benefit by your loving desire to throw them in the deep end.
Yeah, I have some questions about the new Ren, which you may not be able to answer yet, because we haven't found it. But based on what you know already about new Ren, what do you think she is going to need to succeed wildly in this new job?
Great.
Frances mentioned some flexibility.
I think flexibility is definitely on the list as maybe top, because as you said, Frances, you know, there will be hospital appointments. I mean, if this thing still continues, you know, I will need that time to go to the hospital. I plan on working from home quite a lot still, because there's medications that need to be given to my son around the clock. And only I or my husband or my mother can give those medications. I think support in general from my boss, just, you know, for example, if I was to make a mistake, I mean, we're all human, you know, mistakes happen, you know, you're dealing with numbers, you're dealing with contracts, you're dealing with lots of things, and lots of things have happened to my brain over the last 18 months. So there will be an element of compassion and understanding needed from my boss towards me if something was to get missed or something wasn't done exactly the way he wanted it done. Because as he can appreciate, it's been very difficult and I just need a bit of time to get my brain back in gear and get myself back into the swing of things. So I think flexibility and understanding are going to be the two main things, I would say.
Have you thought through at this point how you are planning to read the team into your situation at home?
Yeah, I think, again, going back to the principles of honesty and authenticity, I think it is important to be honest and have an honest conversation about that. This is what's been going on and this is kind of where I'm at the moment. And I'm happy to have that conversation with them when I return.
And so here, if I put on my coach visor, it's evolved from a hat to a Advisor.
Advisor is nice.
Where I would push you on this is to actually elevate your ambition from a conversation about managing expectations with your closest colleagues to partnering with them to create the conditions where you can succeed wildly. So, you know, it's something like, hey, team, let me introduce you to the new Wren. Here's what's a little bit different. Some of you might remember the old Wren. Here's what's a little bit different about the new Wren. Here's the way I need to work in order to contribute fully. And here's the payoff. And here's what we're going to build together. And this is this is what my contribution is going to look like. And now let's talk about what your contributions look. And I just want you to show up at an emotional frequency that makes this not just something that we're going to endure together, but something we're going to build together.
Yeah, no, that's a really interesting way of looking at it, because you are doing it together, essentially. So it takes away the me and them.
I also like thinking about if there's someone else leading a team and you're one of the individual contributors versus you're leading the team, how much more can the team produce and create and with you leading it versus you being an individual contributor? And I want you to really get in touch with that.
I love where you're going, Francis, because that's what I'm getting stuck on. Everyone's life is complicated, right? Everyone has constraints. The opportunity that life has presented you is your constraints are now really clear. And you were operating in a world with no constraints. Old Wren didn't think that she had anything in the way of her giving everything to work. And now life has presented you with constraints and trade-offs. What we know, we have spent our careers thinking about this, what we know about trade-offs is when you are deliberate and intentional about them, you can go faster and further and to places you never even dreamed was possible. But you have to put them on the table and you have to design for them and you have to be deliberate about the costs and benefits here. The benefits of working within new Wren's new constraints, you are going to be a kick-ass boss.
Oh my gosh.
And one of the reasons is the people around you on your team are also going to be able to show up as three-dimensional human beings with limitations in their own life. And you're going to make it possible for them to talk about the parent whose care they are now in charge of and their own kid who's got, and then their own mental health issues that they have to work around for you to get 110% of them.
It's just so refreshing to hear, you guys talk about this in a completely different light. I mean, what's in my head is in my head. And then I'm sharing that with you. But then to hear you guys kind of talk back and give your kind of perspective, it means a lot. It's definitely things that I actually didn't even think about. And as you're speaking, I'm like, whoa, really? Okay, actually, that's not, to say that I would add more value by managing a team than as an individual contributor, I never really thought of it like that.
And so, Wren, what feels new to you in this way of thinking?
I've done loads of mentoring things here and I've done loads of talks and conferences and things, and all of it is to help others, and I've never charged for it or anything. And I feel that in this particular situation, I need to not only look at this as a hobby, but look at this as a way of life, especially in my job, as you mentioned, with not being an individual contributor anymore, but more of a allowing my team to help support what I need doing by nurturing them and getting the best out of them.
It's so liberating to not be about you.
Yeah.
So let's get super practical. It's your first week on the new job. I'm not going to say back on the job.
Yeah.
It's new Wren's first week in her new job. Tell us, what do you think you're going to do differently based on this conversation? We'll make it not the first week, but the first month.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to be less hard on myself. The three C's, the compassion, the capacity, and What was the other one? Compassion, capacity, and
confidence.
Confidence. Yeah. I'm definitely going to give myself a little bit of a break and not be too hard on myself and have a voice in the back of my mind that tells me, Ren, you don't have to do it all today. You don't have to do it all now. You don't have to know it all now. It's okay not to know something, but it will happen.
I'm going to also push you to think about in advance how you want to bring both your boss and your team along on what you are going to need to be successful in this role, what new Ren is going to need.
100%. Yeah. They need to, they want to know. And for my sanity, they need to know. So yeah, I definitely would do that.
And for your success.
Yeah.
Because we're not just enduring. New Ren is going to kick
ass. Is going to add a zero. She's going to add a zero, and she wouldn't be able to do it without a team. And so if I was going to add anything to the second week, if the first week was about you, I would have the second week be almost exclusively about your team.
Yeah.
And do, and all of the things that you had for you, make sure you do that with the team, because the team is your ability to reach higher than you ever could have before.
Yeah. They're going to help me make that happen. They're going to help make that possible. So, yeah.
So, Ren, how are you feeling now about going back to work?
I feel, you guys have given me so much to think about in a good way. So I feel like I have more resources in my toolbox now to build a plan and just know that there is the practical side, which is taking all of the advice and the planning and just making sure I've got it all in my head, what I need to remind myself of. And then there's the whole other side, which is things will fall into place eventually, because life always finds a way.
It works out. It works out. Eventually. You seem a little bit lighter to us. Yes. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I do feel. It's so much nicer to talk it through with someone, and especially people like yourselves who are just so much more experienced than I am. So, no, thank you so much.
It's our pleasure. We are big fans.
Yeah, we're rooting for you, and we stay on the team. So we would love to hear how things go.
Thank you.
What are you thinking about, my love?
If I was going to helicopter up, as an awesome individual contributor, it was all about you in order to serve people above you.
Right.
And manager, it's all about you only insofar as to serve the people below you. And I think that is it's not what top individual contributors think. It's why we see, you know, some of the top players may not make good coaches. They can, but in general, I think it's a mindset shift that is non-trivial.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to add a zero. And by that, we mean it's going from 1 to 10 or 10 to 100, 100 to 1,000.
Right.
Adding a zero means it's going to be explosive.
Yeah. Yeah. I think what's really powerful about this story is that transition, universal, challenging, we see it everywhere, is also coinciding with this point in her life where a diagnosis, and it can be many other things, but makes it very clear that gravity applies even to the superstars. And I think the superstars can get seduced into thinking that gravity does not apply to us.
we can just fly.
We can excel everywhere. But I think in situations like this, you are forced to confront it. And so the combination of that transition, the transition to being a manager, leader, and then also recognizing that there are trade-offs and limitations, but on the other side of those, there's a different kind of excellence. All of that is happening at once, and I think it's a huge opportunity for both growth and impact for Ren.
You know, one of the things I hope we get to discuss on a future episode is that acknowledging and honoring trade-offs is rocket fuel.
Yes. We're going to have to find a way to discuss that, because the alternative is to get lost in the delusion that we can be great at everything, which reliably
leads to exhausted mediocrity. Exhausted mediocrity.
And when we use that phrase, it sometimes takes people's breath away, because it describes exactly
where they feel.
What the whole organization feels.
Yeah.
All right, that's our show. Frances, read us out.
Thanks for listening, everyone. We would love to hear from you as well. If you want to figure out your workplace problem together, please get in touch. You can email fixable@ted.com or call 234-FIXABLE. That's 234-349-2253.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
Fixable is brought to you by the TED Audio Collective. It's hosted by me, Frances Fry.
And me, Anne Morris. This episode was produced by Isabel Carter. Our team includes Isabel Carter, Constanza Gallardo, Lydia Jean Cott, Sarah Nix, Michelle Quint, Corey Hagem, Alejandra Salazar, Ban Ban Chang, and Roxanne Highlash. Jake Gorski is our mix engineer.
We'll be bringing you new episodes of Fixable every week. So please make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
And one more thing, if you can please take a second to leave us a review. We love hearing from our listeners, particularly when they have nice things to say about us.